You don't prepare in a battle, you prepare for the battle. You don't play away your preparation. It's a season. It will not always be there. You know, I've said this to people. If you rush out when you are not prepared, your generation will not forget you. They will note you and not forget that you are a mediocre. Any soldier that gets to the battlefield then start learning how to shoot a gun is a dead soldier. You are not in ministry to compete, you are in ministry to war. If you want to compete at all, the only person you should compete against is yourself.
Pastor Femi Lazarus has been commissioned to go raise God's end time army. Sit back and be blessed as a gold soldier of Christ.
I commend you to God's grace. May you do this well.
Father, we love you beyond words, beyond human imagination. So bless you. We love you with all our hearts. We love you with all our heart, Lord. We confess our love to you. We give you all praise. We give you all glory. Because you alone are worthy of all praise. Shalabakati, kedebaka, shelebaka brakati. Elemekum bilata, shalabakadish. Equate bela bianca broboko pedish. Zilimakata bala 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 bakatish. Hedamom tikash. Habakan remakas. Elamakas, shelabaka. Hedamakos. Oh, bless you, Father. You're faithful, you're just, you're kind, you're merciful. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name, we are praying. Hallelujah. Amen. Is divine health a possibility? Is it possible for a believer to have sound health? No itch, nothing, sound health. So let's learn it together in God's word. So we still pick that scripture. The subject of divine health is the part B, all right, of where we pick our anchor for supernatural prosperity from. If you remember the anchor, you see it is 3 John verse 2. That's the anchor. That's where we picked it from. 3 John verse 2. Amen. All right, can we all echo it together? 3 John verse 2. If you are there, say amen. If you are there, say amen. Amen. All right, so wait for those who are not there. Amen. Have you found 3 John? It's a bit embarrassing looking for scriptures up and down. Sorry, but it's the truth. Amen. All right, are you there now? Check your neighbor, is he there? Challenge, let's challenge ourselves. Check. The fellow may pause at the book of Romans. So let me just act like I'm there. Your neighbor is not there, help your neighbor. Are you there now? All right, let's read verse 2 together after the count of 3. 1, 2, 3, go. Over all things, prosper. One more time. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospered. Amen. All right, so I wish above all things. That's a very powerful word. I wish above all things that you prosper, then you have sound health. All right, put your hands on your chest. Say, it is God's will for me to be healthy. Say it again.
It is God's will for me to be
healthy. One more time.
It is God's will for me to be healthy.
God wants me to prosper.
God wants me to prosper.
And He wants me to be healthy. Amen.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Amen.
All right. So this foundation will lead us into some deep truth. When we get there, we'll get there. Okay? But just follow me. My goal in this teaching is not to leave you halfway. Are you following me? I want everyone, somebody say everyone, to come to that point of understanding. Are you following me here? Yes. So that you can stand your ground. Let me say this to you. There's so much authority in Christ beyond what you're operating in right now. Authority. Authority. Not joke. Authority. I remember the day I was trying to, one of my mentees was in the labor room and they called me. She was going to do it. I said, okay, great, God will go with her. All right. And then, I think around 11 p.m., no, 1 a.m., I got a call. Say, if you want to be a pastor, you must be ready. Right? You are as awake as the husband. Yeah. Except you want to have a pastor that will have plenty of dead people. 1 a.m., pastor, your daughter has not given birth. Ah, what's happening here? I said, don't worry. I'll pray. So I got up. Yakushida balakatia. Lord help. 2 a.m. I called. Alpha said she has not given birth. Ah. Lekushida balaba. Father would decree. We stop every agent of darkness. I want you to learn the lesson from this story. 3 a.m. Not giving birth. Oh, shigalabatoka. Lord will come against all principalities and powers. 5 a.m. I said, give her the phone. Give her the phone now. I command right now. Push. And she screamed. Ah! They had to take the phone from her and switch off the phone. 15 minutes later, pastor, we have a bouncing baby boy. If you pray when you should use authority, you'll get no result. Are you following me? All right. I prayed 4 hours asking God to do what I should do. Are you following what I'm saying here? Why? You are writing. Bless God for the way you jot in this church, and I love your growth. Amen. Amen. All right. Look up. We pray to know the will of God, then to pray, to ask that the will be established on earth. All right, the moment we know that this is the will of God, you can choose to enforce it yourself. Are you following me? At that point, you are not asking. Now, hear me. I learned this from Kenneth E. Hagin. If you are praying prayer like, Father, if this is your will, let me get a result in this area. If this is your will, let me get a result in this area. You will never get a result. Why? You don't get the result in the area that the will of God is not known. You pray that the will be revealed first. Then you pray that there is establishment in the will. All right. Jesus teaching disciples to pray in Matthew 6 said to them, our Father, what in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Is it thy will be done on earth? As it is where? In heaven. Right? Your will be done. It was praying the will of the Father into existence. All right. That's the focal point. That's the focus of kingdom message. The establishment of God's will. So I want to reinforce it again. Put your hands on your chest. Say, God wants me to be healthy.
God wants me to be healthy.
Say it again.
God wants me to be healthy.
Say it with confidence.
God wants me to be healthy.
Say it one more time.
God wants me to be healthy.
Amen. Amen. All right. I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health. That is, be in a state of health. Not a state of management of health. State of good health. This is God's will. All right? This has been his will from the beginning. So, if we are going to look at divine health, then we have to look at it. Where did sickness originate from? If we go by the law of first mention, who was the first fellow to be sick in the Bible? What is God's plan about our life and longevity? The average life expectancy in Africa now is it 55? Huh? For women, 55. Men. Lesser, of course. For them. You see, our life expectancy is not based on WHO projections. It is based on what God has made available. Hear me. It doesn't matter whether people die early in your family. You belong more to the family of Christ than you belong to that family. Say it after me. Huh? One more time. All right, so in the beginning, Genesis 1, verse 26, 27, God said, let us make man in our own image and after our likeness. In our own image, talks about perfect replica. All right, Jesus is the visible image of the invisible God. That is, you can look at Jesus. This is what that means. And you can see the Father in him. What does that mean? If you can see the Father in a person, it talks about the realm of not just intimacy, but dominion. You can look at him, and the same way nothing can stop the Father, nothing stops this man. And then he has the likeness of the Father. That is, everything about him is like the Father. The Father doesn't fall sick. He doesn't fall sick. So in the beginning, God said, let man be made in this image. Let him have dominion over the fish of the sea. Somebody say the fish of the sea. Say it again. The birds of the air. The battle and the cattle of the field. And every creeping thing. So, man was given dominion. Dominion is not the same thing as rulership. You know. All right? It means man was given the ability not to be subjected by anything in that realm. That is, as far as man is concerned, he's in charge. Nothing in that realm, those are the, I can't remember the way we put it now. The biosphere, composed of three different levels. The air, sea, and what? Water, right? Right, three realms. No, I don't want to call them realms. There's a word for it. There's a register for it. You didn't do biology? Or you didn't pass it? There's a register I'm looking for, yes. Okay. You can call it habitat, as it were. Let's just call it sphere. All right. Not sphere of light, but sphere. All right. Where they can actually function. So, God said, let him have dominion in all of these realms. So, but when man fell, to make the long story short, God said to man, he said, from the dust. Somebody say, from the dust. Thou art. And to the dust thou shalt return. Meaning that, please pay attention. The man that God was telling from the dust thou art was not the same man God made. As at the time God was speaking, the essence in the man God made in Genesis 1 verse 26 that he came to create in Genesis 2, the essence had left. What was left was a man who has to learn to die. God could never be speaking to the man he made and say, from the dust thou art, from me thou art. Because look at the way God addressed Jesus. He said, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. When you say this is my son, what are you saying? It's from me. So, if when God was looking at Adam and saying, from the dust thou art, he had died. That's the implication. Is somebody listening to me? All right? He had died. The serpent said to them in Genesis 3, when you hear this thing, you shall not surely die. I've given you the interpretation of Yoruba. You shall not surely die. You shall die, but you shall not surely die. Well, no. There's a comma in that language. And something died. First, was stripped of God's glory. All right. He knew he was naked. You know, that part tells us a lot about what really happened between the marriage of two people who are not believers. Shame, the need to hide, the need to cover up, the need for many things. There was no need for that before. And all of a sudden, man now discover that he can die. Now, death in itself is not from God. God did not make death. Let me give you an instance. If they put off this light from this oil, and suddenly put off the light. Now, if I instruct them and I say, switch off the light, would you say I made darkness? Darkness is the natural result of the absence of light. Death is the natural result of the absence of life. Hear me. There are two kinds of life. There is Zoe, the life that proceeds from God. Are you seeing that? In him is life, and that life is light of men. That's Zoe. All right. And then there is Zoke, the life of a dead man, or the animal life. So God made a man with Zoe, but after rebelling against God, he was left with Zoke. And God was looking with that at that man, and he was saying, look at it. What's left of you? From the dust it is from, and to the dust it will return. Meaning that, as far as that is concerned, something has been placed to govern man. That is, the natural consequence of this sin is that you will have to return to the dust. And this death will catch up with you. Are you seeing that? Death will catch up with you. And it took Adam how many years for that to happen? How many years? You read your Bible? How many years did it take him for death to catch up with him? 70 years? 55 years? 100 years? 120 years? 200 years? For the man through whom sin entered the world, it took him time to learn to die. Can I say this to you? Man was never supposed to die. Who wants to die? Do I have anybody in this church who wants to die now? Amen. So we quote the scripture. I shall not die, but live. I have to live to fulfill the counsel of God, the land of the living. Well, hang around these people and hear their thoughts. We hear such a thing as, how will I die now? I'm not yet married. I'm not married though. Can't die anything. I'm not going anywhere. So you discover that we are still far from the eternal counsel of God. Still far from it. All right. Oh, thank you, Lord. I want to show you something. Look at it. Genesis 5, verse 4. Please, people of God, I want you to learn something from this. The end product of this is that your faith must become very rugged. Are you following what I'm saying? I'll tell you something then so you understand the reason why your faith has to be very rugged. Now, let me start from verse 1 so you can understand. This is the book of the genealogy of Adam. And the day that God created man, he made him in the likeness of God. He created them, male and female, and blessed them and called them mankind in the day they were created. And Adam lived 130 years. And begot a son in his likeness, after his image, and named him Seth. Are you seeing that? After he begat Seth, the days of Adam were 800 years, and he had sons and daughters. So, are you there? So all the days that Adam lived were 930 years, and he died. How many years? Say it. Say it. All right. Anybody who is afraid of controversy cannot be trusted in the move of God. I will have to tell you some very harsh sound realities here. It is not God's will that man should die at all. Even now. Are you following me? Say it is not God's will for man to know death. Say it one more time. Say it again. Death is a sign that life is no longer at work. It's a sign, note it, that life is not at work. All right? It's a sign. So, Adam lived 930 years. Then he died. But you discover that even at age 130, he was still strong enough to give birth. So according to God's plan, there's no menopause. These are developments that came because we're dying as the end of the world was coming closer. Why is man learning to die? The knowledge, the authentic knowledge of God is decreasing. This is eternal life. That you may know him. So life in itself is a product of knowledge. Not a product of wishful thinking. Not a product of management. Knowledge. Death in itself is another kind of knowledge. Adam knew sin. Eve knew sin, and death came through sin. All right. Sometimes, you know, we as believers, we give the devil options. And I was talking with some friends this morning, and you know, we agreed. that even the devil himself is so surprised at how easy it is to deal with Christians of this generation. He's not wasn't expecting to be that easy, but it's so easy. All right? What do Christians check? The effect of diabetes. This kind of cancer. What are the causes of this kind of sickness? High blood pressure. All right? We check those things. Sepsis. We start checking online. You have some symptoms. You check. And you're asking yourself, all right, if I trace my genealogy, what sickness did my mother battle with? And then you start reading about it. You start checking up about it. And then you start preparing your mind for the day you might likely have it. And we live with a mentality that invites sickness to our body. We are conscious of it. We are conscious of it. We carry the consciousness everywhere we get to. Oh, this sickness. Oh, that sickness. What symptom is this? I'm having headache on the left side of my head. What symptom is that? Then you go on Google. Headache on the left side of the head. What symptoms is that? And Google tell you it's HIV/AIDS. You trust Google. It will help you list like 5 different things. None of them is nice. None of them is nice. HIV/AIDS. And then give you different kind of stuff. It is what you are conscious of that works in you. It is what you are conscious of that works in you. The consciousness of a believer is not death. It is not sickness. It is life. Our consciousness is that which God has provided and made available for us. Are you following me here? Our consciousness is that which God has provided and made available for us. Let me say it again. No believer is supposed to die. You know, the issue with where we are, I was looking this morning and my heart was so pained. And I was saying to myself, in the body of Christ right now, we still have a long way to go. We have a long way to go. We have a long way to go. And you see, God has to raise fearless teachers. God has to raise fearless teachers who will spend time with God to enter into depth of revelation and introduce it to the body without minding what anyone will say. Because the way it is that any new revelation is being fought by the devil. Because as we enter into this new light, it becomes our experience. If we can have victory over the fear of death, there's nothing more to fear. What is the highest blow the devil can give a person? Death. So the Bible says some people have, through the fear of death, been subjected to bondage. The fear of death in itself is a mentality. It's a mentality. It will amaze you at how backward we are. You know, that right now there are still believers that believe that if you wear hearing, you are going to hellfire. I stumbled on a very short video clip. I can't remember when. A man was saying, God said, God made man the leader and the woman his follower. The men that allow their wives steep on top of them are going to hellfire. And at what point did this become the message of the church? Oh, please. These are things that should make us, except you have not been called to labor. If you have been truly called to labor, now is a time to really weep. It will amaze you as we are digging further. Revelations we could have entered. Just when we think we are accessing it, some things will come up. You are shocked. As I'm saying it to you now, it's looking unbelievable that the life a believer has ought not to end. It ought not to end. And I will show you as we go on this series that there are believers who have been existing for over 2,000 years and they are still alive. Leave it. Jesus speaking concerning John was saying to Peter, he said, Listen, when you are old, somebody will hold you by the hand and then kill you. And then, and no, sorry, little place you want to go to. Peter was asking Jesus about John. John, Jesus said, if I choose that this one should be here till my coming, what do you have to say about that? If I choose, it is a possibility. If I choose, death is a choice. Death is a choice. And we need to get there. Death is a choice. Is somebody following me here? I said, is somebody following me here? Let me show you a scripture. 1 Corinthians 15. Let's go there. Let's study. I will give you all to meditate on. Do you get what I'm saying? You know, when people go to do charm with herbalists, herbalists will give them what to incant, what to be saying. I will give you what to meditate on. It will help you. Whatever things are true, just, noble, of good report, think on this. Because as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Don't think of what is not of good report. Don't think on it. Are you following me here? Now look at it. Okay, where do I start from? Let me start from verse 29. So, okay. Let's start the reading from verse 12. I want you to understand and so you can please follow me well here. Now, 1 Corinthians 15 from verse 12. Now, if Christ is preached, please follow me keenly, that he's been raised from the dead, how do some among you say there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty. And if your faith is also empty. Yes, we have found full witness of God. Because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he did not raise up. And in fact, the dead. If in fact the dead do not raise. For if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, then your faith is futile. And you are still in your sins. Then also, those who are falling asleep in Christ have perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most pitiable. Now look at verse 20. But now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruit of those who are falling asleep. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection from the dead. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all shall be made alive, quickened. But each one in his own order, Christ the first fruit, after all those who are Christ at his coming. Then comes the end, when he who delivers the kingdom to God the Father. When he puts an end to all rule and authority and power, for he must reign till he has first put the enemy under his feet. The last enemy that will be destroyed is death. Somebody say, death is an enemy. Say it again. Say, death is an enemy. You are not saying it well. Let me tell you a major secret here. Why is death the last enemy that will be destroyed? Because death, victory over death is the last revelation the church will enter. The church that will see the coming of Jesus is not a church that is beggarly. You are not getting that. The church that will see the coming of Jesus is not a church that wakes up and they are afraid, I may die now, something might kill me. If I come here to preach next service, then death is an idiot. Not a beggarly church, whatever it is that is ours in Christ,
can be obtained. If you are not seeing it, then you choose not to believe it. Are you seeing that? Say it again. Say, death is an enemy. Say it loud and clear. Say it powerfully well.
Death is an enemy.
It is an enemy. It is an enemy. Now let's look at it. All right? For he has put all things under his feet. But when he says all things are put under him, it is evident that he who put all things under him is expected. Accepted. Okay. Now, verse 28. When all things are made subject to him, then the Son himself will also be subject to him who put all things under him, that God may be all in all. Otherwise, verse 29. What will they do who are baptized for the dead? For if the dead do not rise at all, why are they baptized for the dead? I will explain that. And why do we stand in jeopardy every hour? I affirm by boasting in you, which I have in Christ Jesus, our Lord, I die daily. This is the only kind of death we are expected to do. Dying to the flesh. I die daily. If in the manner of men, I have fought with the beast at Ephesus, what advantage is it to me? If the dead do not rise, let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. You don't understand that statement. He said, if what I'm telling you is not possible, why am I preaching? Let us just eat. Let's drink. After all, tomorrow we die. You know, we coined so many songs. We live tomorrow we die. We live today, tomorrow we die. What is the value of life? And it will amaze you how strong the consciousness of an average believer is about death. Everything shows you how easy it is to die. You watch movies, 100 ways to die. It tells you anything can kill you. Something like this in your microwave can just explode and blow your face up. You're on a plane, there's so much turbulence.
Sorry?
Or just small turbulence, and then you are afraid this plane is going to come down. You have watched so many videos about plane crash, yours is just waiting to happen. You check, what is the consciousness of an average believer? What is the conscious? How many believers really meditate on what Christ has done? They give themselves to think on this. Death is a product of sin. Note it in capital letter. Capital letter. Death is a product of sin, not from God. Death is a product of sin, not from God. Let me jump a bit so you can understand. Amen. Now look at verse 50. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 50. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed. Amen. Are you seeing that? Say, behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed. Somebody, look at that scripture. Say, we shall not all sleep. Hey. Are you thinking on it? Look at it again. Say, we shall not all sleep. But we shall be changed. Hold on. Wait. Peg that scripture. Let me show you another scripture so we can compare scriptures with scriptures. Are you there? Now, look at it. That's verse 51. Now, let's look at verse 39. All right, let's look at verse 39. All flesh is not the same flesh. But there is one kind of flesh of men. There's one kind of flesh of men. another flesh of animals, another of fish, another of birds. There are also celestial bodies and terrestrial bodies. But the glory of the celestial is one, the glory of the terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun, that glory of the moon, that glory of the stars. For one star differs from another star in glory. There is also resurrection from the dead. The body is sown in corruption, and it is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it raises a spiritual body. Now the word sown there talks about when the body is introduced to the grave, when there is death. That's the word sown there. That is when a believer dies. So it's saying in a realm, please pay attention, in a realm, there is the body that has to be sown to inherit incorruption. But there's another one that we shall not all die, but we shall be saved. There is a part. Are you following me? You have to be sown in corruption to rise in incorruption. You have to be sown in weakness to rise in power. But there is also another part. We shall not all die. That's the mystery. He said this part is a mystery. Okay, Shatika. Are you seeing that? So, see, the believer has power. See, the believer has power over death, over sickness. The believer has power over death and sickness. Say it again. When Jesus got to the tomb of Lazarus, and he said, roll up the stone. And they did. The Bible said he stood and cried with a loud cry, Lazarus, come forth! And he that was dead and bounded rose, came forth. One that was bounded stepped out. But Jesus had to specify, Lazarus, you are the one I'm talking to. Not all who have died. Because if I say all who have died, come forth, they will live. Aye. Have you read in your Bible that when Jesus rose from the grave, they start seeing new faces? The life we are about to enter now rubbed off on those who had died. They jacked back and they were roaming about. They were seeing new faces. They didn't know this was Abraham. That's Isaac you read about. No picture to speak about them. They were all about the street of Jerusalem. Till suddenly they couldn't see them anymore. Life rubbed off. Somebody was going to rise. The life in him spew on every one of them. They jack back. What's happening here? If you see any tombstone in the cave where they were buried, there's nothing there. They rose. They rose. That's why I said this is going to be a very deep teaching. This is a foundation. Someone says that life, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Yes. But flesh and bones can. Flesh and bones can. I'm going to show you from the Bible. Something happened on the mountain of transfiguration. Have you read it in your Bible? Two people came and they were speaking with Jesus. They were talking with him. What was their name? Huh? Moses and Elijah. They were talking to him. What is the peculiarity of Moses and Elijah? I'll tell you. Elijah could not be swallowed by death on the account of something he knows. God had to say, I will take you. Enoch walked and walked and walked. If he was not taken, Enoch would still be existing. Because there's a point you know him to, that at this point, you have already been translated for this body to know decadence. You know, Moses had to be hidden by God or buried by God because the devil was going to allow them to find a religion around him. When that book, that scripture of the Bible is very strange. God told Moses and Aaron, he said, both of you are not going to see the promised land. He said, Aaron climbed up the mountain and stood there. And the Bible said, and they stripped him of his priestly garment, and God took his spirit and he dropped dead. They carried Aaron to go and bury. Moses went. God called him. And he took him in a flash in the spirit realm. He said, look around. Look at the land. You will not be able to step there. And he saw everywhere. Then, took his spirit. Then eat his body. Why? It could not know decadence. At some point, he was standing before God. So much so, you know, talking to God. The Bible said God spoke to him as a man speaks to his friend, that he did not know that he had left this realm. He came forth. His face alone was shining. It was not the kind of light that something is glowing. It was the kind of light that they had to cover. Nobody could stare into his eyes. He had entered. He had become something else. He was not a normal man. At the point, Moses could not live with normal people. God had to tell him, build a tent called the tent of meeting. Every morning, the Israelites will wake up in the morning and they will see the pillar of cloud descend and God will stand in the cloud. They see the shape of a person stand in the cloud, speaking with Moses face to face. At some point, God had to defend Moses and tell Miriam and Aaron. He said, who is the prophet amongst you? Save that I speak to them through visions and dreams. See, there's none amongst you like Moses, my friend, whom I speak with face to face as a man talks to his friend. On the mountain of transfiguration, God had to use the only people who had victory over death to come show Jesus. Kashalikatia. What kind of walk did Aaron walk till he got to a point where he was not for? He was just not. He walked and walked deeper, and was missing amongst men. Elisha was carrying so much life. They carried him. They carried the boy that was dead. Elisha's body had decayed. But as the boy's lifeless body touched a bone, Jack back to life. Meaning that he died with excess life. Life enough to heal a whole nation. I don't want to die with excess life. I want to live it. I can't shake anybody. Amen. I said amen. I said amen. Amen. Yeah. You know, you are not too sure yet. You're like, Pastor, this is sounding new. Are you sure? I have victory over death. Come, let me show you something. Why is it that when the devil, if the devil has power to kill you, why does he show you in a dream that you are going to die before you die? Why shouldn't he just kill you? Have you ever wondered about that before? If the devil is as powerful as he's saying, why should you have to see yourself in a dream before he kills you? Why? It is so that fear can be sown in your heart, because just as faith is a product of knowledge, fear is also a product of a kind of knowledge. Fear in your heart is your signature on a contract you don't know the full meaning. Sometimes the devil cannot really enforce some things until you start praying about them, and I'll tell you why. Because those prayers you are praying are not prayers of faith. They are prayers of fear. For instance, now, if the devil shows me, okay, someone called me. I think I shared the story. And someone called me on phone around the season. And then it was even around the season that I was not really feeling too well. And I will tell you, a pastor can be sick. And I'll tell you what we all need to learn. I was not feeling too well. And the fellow called me and said, Pastor, I got a vision and God said to tell you. He said, just pray against untimely death, this. As the call ended, God spoke to me, said, I did not send him. Sometimes you see somebody who is very close to you, just dead. Why is the devil showing it? Why shouldn't he just kill them? Because it's not powerful to do that until you agree by panicking. Sometimes 70 days fasting and prayer over something you should know according to scripture is not the most sign of spirituality. You can fast in vain. You can't bribe God. He has never eaten all the days of his life. Can't bribe God. The devil just shows you. Your wife died. How many ribs did you take away from me? 2? 50? This dying going nowhere. So what are you taking? She's going nowhere. Sit down there. See, devil, your son. There are some of you here who have fears. You are just going to lose one of your children. Calculated, maybe his firstborn or secondborn. You are slaughtering them before they come. Out of your fears. You're just afraid one day you might just have stroke. One day you might just have hypertension. At what age? So the devil shows you. And then say, just show you in a vision. Show yourself having one accident. An accident becomes your consciousness. Till it becomes your reality. Accident. What happened in the boat when there was so much storm? Jesus was asleep. A sleeping lion is still a lion. He was sleeping. He was asleep. Care us not that we die. Die where? Lord, what to mock by say, men like us don't die in the hurry. Somebody following me. Lift your hands. Say, I have life. I have it more abundantly. Say it again. Say, I have life. Say it one more time. Say, I have life. I have it more abundantly. One more time. I have life. I have excess life. Excess life. Excess life. Glory to God. I have life. I have life. I was teaching those who were praying on the mentorship prayer. I told them how to fight the good fight of faith. The good fight is a good fight of faith. All right? I would say we should fight that kind of fight. All right. The devil starts selling the idea to you. Do you know you may just drop dead? That is not an empty statement. That's a threat. And those threats are always in the direction of your consciousness. Oh, no, you didn't get that. The devil just sell it to you. Do you know you may just have cancer? That's the devil telling you now. That lump that you're seeing in your breast, do you know it may be cancer? And every time you stand before the mirror to do self-examination, there's always fear in your heart. Then you notice around that season, just when you open on Facebook, you will hear there's something somebody cancer. You check on television, there's something somebody cancer. You get what I'm saying now? You try to do something, there's just difficulty in urinating. That thought just comes. This may be cancer. Then you check, there's something somebody cancer.
These are not mere statements. They are arrows at your heart. They are launching you so it can be full. When it is fully conceived, then death is bettered. You notice, let me say something to you. You will notice. It will not take time. The fellow will have the cancer. Let me tell you how things operate. You need to learn this. It will help you. All right? Fear is an energy. Say it.
Fear is an energy.
Say it again.
Fear is an energy.
Say it again.
Fear is an energy.
Faith also is an energy.
Faith.
Say it again.
Faith
is an energy. All right? Let me give you an instance. The last time I gave an instance, it happened. So, let's assume I'm trusting God for 500,000 naira before the end of this week. So, I'm trusting God, 500,000. Yeah, I have faith for it. And as I'm speaking to you, I have faith for it. 500,000 for the end of this week. Now, look up. I am trusting who? God. With zero expectation from anybody. Because you can't look up and down at the same time. I'm trusting God. We will use, it's not my business, but God. So, that will help me channel my heart to God. Then that faith is an energy that when somebody, please pay attention, when somebody is thinking of what to do with a money, that faith, that consciousness that I have becomes a voice in the spirit realm. Pay attention. And that voice tells the fellow that that money, all right, this person should get it. The fellow will call you and say, God said to give you this. God did not say it. Your consciousness said it. And that's why, you see, if you are not praying deeper enough, I can have consciousness for something, then you empty your account and say, Pastor, God said to give you. God didn't say so. My consciousness drew you. I can look at you, for instance, and look into your eyes because I know I have a strong voice in the spirit realm and tell you, you cannot be broke. Now, I don't know if you have heard me use this word, the future is bright. When I say it, what happens to you? It's not a mere statement. I'm programming something. I'll just say it out of the blues. I come to you and say, oh boy, the future is bright. You have heard it, but this one is different. It's a strong voice. I'm going somewhere. All right? So I start saying something like, God, I'm talking. The fellow will say, I heard God. But no, it's a son who is legislating like God. You heard. And then says, I'm sowing this money. I say, oh, you are blessed. Oh, God bless you. You're And you get blessed. All right? And you weren't looking at men. You were looking at God. God just made your consciousness someone's consciousness. He can pick your strong thought in the spirit realm. That's something. Then there's also another person who is always afraid of thieves coming to rob. This fellow has heard different news. Something, something boys. Awawa boys. These boys. Agege boys. All right, and this fellow is always afraid. Thief, he's the one that will say, lock the burglary, lock everywhere, lock that place. Lock. It is an energy. How does that energy work? When thieves are planning for anywhere they want to go and rob, because your fears can be picked in the air. Even if they pass the front of your house, something will tell them, branch here. That energy you are generating in the spirit realm can lead evil your direction. And that's why David said, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, it is important I fear no evil. That is the way to survive it. I will fear no evil. It is not about where you are. It is about what you fear. Are you not getting it? Though I walk through the valleys of the shadows of death, I fear no evil, for thou art with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You are with me. I fear no evil. Fear is a bondage. God has not given us the spirit of bondage again to fear, but of love, sound mind. Don't you notice that when you no longer have anything you are afraid of, you begin to do well?
When you no longer have fears. In fact, that's when people will respect you. You have too many fears. You have fears of losing relationships, fear of people leaving you, fear of disapproval, fear of somebody disagreeing with you, fear of that, and fear of that. Faith is an energy. So, all right, since the teaching class, so I will have to help us build these things bit by bit. Is that okay? I said, is that okay? All right, let me show you a scripture so to lay foundation of something on something I want to say now. Hebrews chapter number 11 from verse 3. Hebrews chapter number 11, we'll start with verse 1 so you can understand. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtain a good report. A good testimony. By faith we understand. Somebody say, by faith we understand. Say it again, by faith we understand. Say it again, by faith we understand. That the world were framed by the word of God. So that the things which are seen were not made from the things which are visible. The things which are seen were not made from the things which are visible. The things which are seen were not made from the things which are visible. By faith we understand. Look up. I'm meditating here. By faith we understand that the walls were framed by God's word. So by faith we understand that the things which are seen were not made from the things which are visible. Oh, by faith we understand that the things which are seen were not made from the things which are visible. By faith we understand that visible things are a product of invisible things. By faith we understand that cancer is not a product of a damaged cell. Because a damaged cell can still be seen under the microscope. They are visible. Whether good or bad, the Bible did not specify. By faith we understand that the things which are seen were not made from the things which are visible. So, anything I see are not from what is visible. The situation of Nigeria is visible. What I see is not the product of Nigeria's situation. By faith, I understand that the things which are seen were not made from the things which are visible. The seen is from the unseen. If I can manipulate well the unseen, I will get good sin. If I can understand the principle of the unseen, I will see good things. By faith, we understand. And if healing is what I want to see here, it will not be a product of the way the fellow is looking at me while praying for the fellow. I think one of the pastors was sharing an experience he had in a crusade. When Pastor W.F. Kumi was praying for the sick. And he said, if you have faith, just put your hands on the area that you are feeling the defect. And if you don't have faith, put your hands there. I have the capacity to believe on your behalf. I have the capacity to believe on your behalf. I can trust God for you. And it will override faith. One of the things I love about faith is that let me say something very strong. Okay. Which I want you to look like Jesus. Okay. Yes, please come. Miss Coca. Yes. No, you come. Don't worry. I want to ask you some. Bishop Shane, come. Okay. Okay. Okay, you two look like Jesus. The beards. Yeah. If you use it to hack Nigerian Jesus, we'll flog you. Now, there was an issue in the Bible. Are you following me?
there was an issue in the Bible. And let me say this to you. In this kingdom, sometimes you've heard people say a statement as the joke of a prophet is prophecy. Now, because I am someone who I love to be doctrinally correct. All right? Because I know I'm not just teaching for the sake of today, for the sake of tomorrow. We have to be doctrinally correct. If we fact find what we are saying according to scripture, will it stand? I called one of my pastors one day in Lagos, just got a new job. And I was just playing pranks. Look at you, Alagba. How can you forget your stuff, your certificate, everything inside Molue? I was just going to play pranks. And he looked at himself and said, where's my certificate? Where's my bag? Ah, inside Molue. Who do I call? Who has driver of Molue in Lagos? I was just joking. But I wasn't joking. I had picked something in the spirit realm. But it came to my heart as a joke. But it was his reality. All right, and we prayed a very simple prayer. And I can't remember what really happened. He went to their bus station and he met them with his file the following morning. They were there. And he said, we've been looking for you. And said, just buy us Origin. And he bought it for them. And he took his file. And that was it. I want to show you the effect of hearing God. We're going to minister in Ilorin. They called me for a meeting when they were still in Ilorin. Where's Debbie? Uh-huh. Both of them. All right? They called me for a meeting. I was going to minister there. Then I'd not gotten a car. I took Mikra from Mokola. All right? To what's that place after UI? Ojo. Myself and Pastor Julius, we were so excited. We came down from the Mikra. He backed his bag, and I was happily talking with him. We left my bag inside the Mikra. We just had one vague idea of what the driver's face looked like. And you know every Mikra driver look like each other. Right? They look alike. He was checking. Ah, this car, Oloton. He took bike from that Ojo to Mokola. They said they have gone to such and so place. They don't come to one place. Ah, God. I don't want to be a prophet that we say we have postponed meeting for the sake of unforeseen circumstances. This boy, you are the one that says you follow me. And they will say, where's the prophetic of this man? I can't even pick where the thing has gone. God, I know I'm your son. Speak to me. And God says, stand where you are. Stand where you are. And I stood there. 10 minutes. 15 minutes. 20 minutes. Then it began to rain. Stand there. 30 minutes, I saw nothing. It was still raining. When I just looked to my right and I saw some area boys trying to open a bag. That's my bag. I did not have to run about by hearing God stay somewhere. What I was looking for came there. The effect is this. The area boys were looking for where to go and share the goods. Somebody's consciousness said, come to his presence and share it. I said, that's my bag. And collector said, God bless you guys. Take 500 now. You're good to go. God bless you. And I left. I want to show you the power of faith in hearing God. There's power. There's power. So there was a woman in the Bible called the woman with the issue of blood. She had been having that infirmity for how many years? 12 years. The Bible says she had suffered great things from many physicians. All right. She had suffered great things. All right. So she said, if I can see him and touch the hem of his garment, I will be healed. She was not in the same level with blind Bartimaeus. He was saying, Son of David, have mercy on me. This one cares nothing about the Son of David. I will get it myself. Hey, Akatia. I am not saying Jesus give me. I'm saying I will get it from you, whether you want to give me or not. That is faith. The moment she saw him,
She touched the hem of his garment and passed.
She knew. Instantly something dropped. And she knew. Jesus knew something had left me. Meaning that her healing was not his permission.
You can breach the gate by faith. Are you seeing that? Virtue left Jesus without the consciousness of Jesus. The power of faith. And he stood. I know what I wanted to get. I've gotten it. Jesus turned around and said, who touched me?
Ah! Peter said, Jesus, you know we are all in the press here. I will say, who touched you?
No! Somebody touched me with a key. Somebody knows something about the spirit realm. Somebody had. The fellow did not just touch me. The fellow took something from me. So I felt virtue leave me. And the woman came and identified herself. Faith is that bad. Oh no. Understanding of certain principles in the spirit realm unlock doors. If I can touch the hem of his garment, it might be too busy to have my time. It might not even see me. The protocol around him might be too much. They may not let me see him. But if I can touch him, just touch the hem of his garment, I'll be healed. And Jesus had to commend that woman's faith. He said, your faith is a great faith. Faith can. Meaning that a man of faith can do something, and God, hear me, will say, ah, the operation of your destiny, this ought not to be there, but you have opened the gate already. By faith, you can do something that it becomes too late for you to be poor. Faith. Say it. I have that operation in my life. You can go back. Say it again. Say it one more time. Hallelujah. And when I read that scripture, I started asking myself, so you can be healed by Jesus without the permission of Jesus. I can be healed. There are many things that we have in operation that are not necessarily what God wanted to give us, or God gave them to us, but in a sense, they are not for the church. The gift of the Spirit, a gift of word of knowledge, a gift of word of wisdom, gift of working of miracles. A believer should never need a miracle. Miracle is a sign that something is not right. So miracle is in place to make it right. It's an obstruction of the celestial realm in the terrestrial realm to put things the way in shape through a supernatural means. All right? So it is sudden obstruction. A believer should never need a miracle. A believer should never need healing because he has health. A believer should never need a miracle because he has the blessing. I'd rather be blessed than experience a miracle.
I'd rather have health than need healing.
What God wants to give me is not healing. It is health. So this is just the basic foundation.
We're going to look at, are there principles in scripture that God has put in place for the believer to walk in this health? Are there responsibilities of the believer? Yes, there are. Mapped out in scriptures.
Taking the word is one part. There are other responsibilities. But we are here dealing with our consciousness. 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 Because that's where the battle takes place. That's where everything is concluded. Consciousness. My thinking process, my thought process, my pattern of thinking, the filter in my mind. And every man's consciousness is a product of the information at his disposal. The information at his disposal. All right. Sometimes you have to learn to choose. Believers, learn to choose not to read bad news. Eat it. All right. There used to be a time. You know, when I was growing up, I spent some 2 years or so, then primary school in Ibadan. All right. I spent some 2 years there about. And there were programs they used to do then. If you have stayed long in this city, all right, and you are mature, you know what I'm talking about. There's a program they call Owie. Owie. On Fridays in the evening. All right. And once they start, radio, you know, my house, I was staying with elderly people. And they'll bring the radio out and increase it. Very, very serene house, quiet. We'll all sit down in the compound and then all gather around the radio and everybody will be saying, Kayefi, Shele la, O Shele, Moto Jabo ni Ojo, oh, this, Tanka, O Foyon Lori. Hey. Then they graduated. A few years later, started another one, called it Labeon. You know, these programs, by the time they want to start that program, the things they use for adverts, bad things, pot, blood, this, okay. Bed, some mama doing like this. And, you know, you're wondering. Then you will think that one they will do, Galaxy TV, Sunday, 2 p.m. You think that's all until 10 p.m. at night. There's another one, Labio. Then a child will bring in a pot. Then a man wants to come and tell you some happenings. Then it will start by eulogizing the mama in the spirit realm. I greet you. And a pastor and his family is sitting to watch that. All right? One of the decisions you must make, ask your spouse, what kind of TV stations, TV programs are we going to watch in this house? Ask. What kind of, hey, are you following me? What kind of TV programs? Okay. You don't want to learn now. I'm telling you. Ask him. Ask him. All right. Consciousness. You're watching all those things. Certain consciousness is building up in your head. You're already thinking, maybe that my grandma in the village, the way she was looking the last time I went there, I suspect that the sponge they used to bath me must have still been in her hands. The sponge. Nowadays, you don't know what is happening. Who can take? There are children being born now that when chants are playing, they are kicking. The father and the mother are praying in tongues. That's when the child will kick. Remove the hand and do like this. Is that the kind of child you want to take the sponge? The moment you are doing Mekum Dika Shigabala Bakambrabaka, that is the moment the child will be kicking. Yes, I'm here. I'm a child of prophecy. Mekum Dika Lekwa Tabaya. You want to give birth to such a child? A nurse who is a witch will not be on duty. This one is not.
I've seen my daughter years ago. I don't need ultrasound to know me. Ultrasound. Say, I want to somebody say, I want to just come and touch the guest star. The star is not on her head. Star. What are you talking about? Yeah, in this house. Then we'll pray. Whoever has stolen out of my stars. How many? 5 stars. Consciousness. Majority of the prayer point we were praying in those days were product of prayers that came while watching Labio. It looks spirit inspired, but it is fear inspired. Fear induced. And we start thinking in a certain manner of death, of sickness, of evil occurrences. But I have life. This is eternal life, that we may know him. This is eternal life. That's life, eternal, knowing Jesus. Ekuta shelemakwateka embika tuaka mentikola zikabayata. Life. I love something Bishop David Oyedepo said. He said, demons are spiritual insects. When I pray in tongues, I spray spiritual insecticide. Santi kalabashate, zuba sakalabatia. Why should a believer wake up in the middle of the night and is afraid to turn to one side? Because if he turns to this side, there might be a demon watching at the back. When the Bible said he made his angel a spirit and his ministers flame of fire. Are you aware that there are angels who will be disciplined if something happens to you? Angels. I was traveling to Akure. I had a meeting. I had a vigil in Ife. That same day, I went to minister for Pastor Dari in Abeokuta. That same day, I was going to Akure to minister. All right? And then I slept off in the car. And I woke up. And I looked by the side of the road. God opened my eyes. I saw a demon angry, fuming. Because that's how they're always angry. But they can't come. The issue is not their posture, it's what they can do. Have you heard that before? A goat is angry and it scratches his leg on the ground. What will he do with the owner? Some believers say, you know, when you are moving on the street and you get to some place and your hair stands, then there's a spirit there. There's a spirit. Yeah. I'm quite stubborn. Forget about this gentle facade. I don't take no for an answer. I'm doing prayer work. I get to a junction. I see my hair stand. That's my junction of prayer. Alakan de baka. Zule. Sigalaba. You have the word of God on your lips. Oh, that's Dr. Yanko. Hey. Consciousness. Authority. I knew the point in my life that I got to a point where I know I don't have to tell a demon twice to leave a person. You will know. I took some of my boys for practical somewhere. Because sometimes you have to allow people to go for practical. People don't respect what you are doing as a pastor. Just take them to see some semi-wild demons. Semi-wild ones. I said, oh yeah. So I sat down, I was drinking Coke. So I said, guys, deal with this case. They started. You don't speak in tongues when you have to cast out the demon. Cast out the demon. What are you doing? The ones you do in school.
He laid your hands together.
Holy Ghost fire. Yeah, Holy Ghost fire. Holy Ghost fire. Yeah, fire, yeah, fire, yeah, fire.
You do that for a while. Then the demon or post person will come and and dance and do something. I say, that's the fire.
Seven men wants to cast out a demon. Their voices are gone. And the man will now say, I will go too. Now, check out. Jesus, legion, saw him. Legion, 12,000. And all he said was, go. What is your definition of being like Jesus? Wearing skirt that look like sack. With no power. And no power. And no power. They cast out this devil. Calm down. You've been watching me. Cast out this devil. That's what I told you. The time to cast out devil is not the time to lay hands on hands. You don't have to lay hands for devils to go. You're speaking. I command you. Go. Go. The demon possessed people just come. I'm about you. And if I slap you, I was enjoying the show. I was drinking my coke. Yeah. I used to come and do your own. Go. Go. Ah. That day, I knew those two guys. They know what is honor. They know, people don't honor you until they know. What it means to be your shoe. I now called the woman's last child. I placed my hands on her shoulder. I command, cast out that spirit. She said it once. You spirit, come out of my mommy now in the name of Jesus. I will go and twist him out. Authority. You cannot just have it. You can confide it on somebody else. I was sharing the case of two people. A young man that called, she sent the ministry number a message. So she sent me the message. The guy said to, sent a message, said, if you don't put me across to pastor, I will kill myself. Ah, you kill yourself, okay? All right, put me across to this guy. All right, give him my contact. Called from South Africa. Said, pastor, all my life, I've lived a disciplined life, chaste life. I don't chase girls. Something happened. He came home, had sexual intercourse with his spouse. All right? The following day, they were all down with the happy simplex. All right? No cure. And then the girl had another issue again. Ah, God. This is how my life will end. This. All right? I said, Oga, we'll pray about this. It will go. But so you can know that this is God's authority. I'll pray for you. You don't go for a test. Tell your girlfriend to go for a test. I pray for him over the phone. I command. The root of this dies now. So you tell her to go for a test. She went for a test. Negative. I said, the one I didn't pray for is now negative. You, how do you feel? I was excited. I know. But you know, human beings, something be telling him, maybe go for yours. Now, and they came back. Negative. Authority over sickness of any kind. Say it, say, I have authority.
I have authority.
Eka shika labatiata. Say it again. Say, I have authority.
I have authority.
There's no sickness in my father's house. There's no sickness in my mother's house. Because my father's house is the house of prayer. Hey! The house of prayer. My father's house shall be called the house of prayer. There's no sickness there. There's no sickness there. There's no sickness there. Brothers and sisters, these things, it's not drama. It is power. His time is gone. My consciousness is life. Health. Not sickness.
I think we have enjoyed the sermon beyond our time. Who has been blessed tonight? If you're excited, celebrate Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Just where you are, rise to your feet, people of God, and confess the life I have. Confess it. I have life. There is power mighty in the blood. There is power mighty in the blood. There is power mighty in the blood of Jesus Christ. There is power mighty in the blood. Kosagbara to the beauty, Jesus. Kosagbara to the beauty, Baba. Kosagbara to the beauty, Jesus.
Abara.
Oh, Lord.
Abara.
Kalabadabasha. I have the power of the Holy Ghost. The power of the Holy Ghost.
The power of the Holy Ghost.
I have
the power of the Holy Ghost. The power of the Holy Ghost. The power of the Holy Ghost.
Amen. Amen. Let me tell you one major thing that will happen throughout this teaching. I'm not going to pray for any sickness. You will develop the consciousness, and by yourself, you send them back to their hiding places. Glory to Jesus. I have the power of the Holy Ghost. Say it again, I have the power of the Holy Ghost. Thank you, Father. Oh, bless you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you. Life is at work in me. Excess life. Excess life. All over me. From the crown of my head to the sole of my feet. I have life! Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. These are our consciousness. And these are our testimony. These are our testimony. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Come on, put those hands together and celebrate.
True transformation is evident for doers and not just hearers of the word. Be a doer of these words of transformation.
To reach us, send an email to femilazarus326@gmail.com. Stay blessed.